Last time we saw you guys, it was right after the blizzard of 2026, I believe. That was when I was shoveling out here and the snow was about as high as my head. And then we hit the road and went to Alabama for a few days. Then basically from that point, we were in different Calvary Chapel churches, leading worship or teaching the Bible, whatever they asked us to do, every single week after that. So we were in Calvary Chapel, Panama City Beach. And then we were over in a church sort of by Venice in Englewood, Florida, on the West Coast. We stopped at the Calvary Chapel Bible College, and I was able to teach their chapel, which was cool. And then we went down to West Palm Beach and were with them on their Palm Sunday service. That's interesting. We were in Palm Beach on the Palm, I just realized that, on the Palm Sunday service. And then we went to Key West at Calvary Chapel Key West. And I don't know if you realize this, like, that's a very difficult place to serve the Lord, Key West. Like, there, it's not exactly like, it's not just this, oh, you went to Key West, you must have had a beautiful vacation. Well, actually, it's like a really, really kind of dark place, and it's very hard to reach people there with the gospel. So, but we had a really good time with them, and were able to serve their church as well. And then came back up, stopped at a few different Calvary chapels along the way, North Carolina, New Jersey, and we had this week off, and we thought that it would not, we were in New Jersey, and we're supposed to be in New York next week, so we weren't planning on coming this direction, actually, because that just adds a bunch of driving, and, you know, when we left here, diesel was like $3.80, and now it's like $5.50, so, but we thankfully, I offered to my parents, I said, hey, well, we can come up here if you're going to be in California, because we didn't know that my grandmother would pass away this past Monday. And thankfully, I was able to get out there the previous week for 3 days, really, and then Nicola was out there for a few days, and she was there when this all happened on Monday. And so now my grandpa, who has never made a meal in his entire life, after celebrating 70 years together, is now trying to figure out how to survive on his own. And that is not something easy to figure out. So yeah, we would really appreciate your prayers for our family. When I agreed to do this today, I didn't realize that my grandmother was going to pass away this week, so I thought it would be a little bit of a different situation, but this is what it is, and this is how God puts things in front of you, and you don't get to choose all the time. Sorry. So thankful also to see Greg here with us. And a lot of people going through it. So we also had another interesting thing happen this week. Zeb, why don't you stand up, Zeb? He did cut his hair, you may notice that. But on Friday, he signed with the Coast Guard Academy. So that's a very interesting, they have a very interesting, you want to say anything? They have a very interesting, very high level engineering program. They accept like 13% of the people that apply. And so it's very hard to get in there. He did a really good job. And And you can just pray. There is, because he was born in Israel, you know, you have to go through a security clearance to join the military of any kind, any of the armed services. And the admissions person yesterday or Friday when he signed said, well, his security clearance form is 50 pages longer than every other person who applied this year. Because you have to write down all the foreign people you know. And that's a lot of people. So you could pray for him that he passes that and is able to start in June. It's very coming up very soon. And we are going to be in New York next week, and we'll be around, but we'll be back before then. But we are still on the road, so we're thankful to be here for this time. Anyway, why don't we pray, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful and that you are good. We thank you that you want to speak to us by your word. And we pray that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And we'll just read all of that together right now. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, we're going to do a little test of your reading comprehension. You ready? We're going to just quickly watch this video. It's only 4 minutes. It's The Chosen displaying this. And I'm going to ask you, what is actually the same? Now, some of you, I know you love The Chosen. That's fine. But what's the same and what's not? All right? What's the same and what's not from the passage? All right? We're going to just take a look.
Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. We've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. At your word.
Let's go! I told you.
I told you. I told you.
The boat, it's still
here. Get out. Get out. Get out.
My brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me. Fish are nothing. You have much bigger things ahead of you, Simon, son of Jonah. Did you understand that parable I told earlier? From now on, I will make you fishers of men, and you are to gather as many as possible, all kinds. I will sort them out later.
All right. You ready? You ready? Okay. What is the first thing that happened that was... Well, let's start with the positive. What did they get right? I'm a sinful man. He gets on his knees in front of him and says, I'm a sinful man. Anything else they got right? Okay, how big was that crowd of people? There was about like 30 people sitting on the shore. Now let's listen to this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the lake of the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats. So he had this crowd thronging about him, right? He had this huge crowd pushing him from all sides, and it was getting so uncomfortable that he couldn't really go around publicly anymore, because everybody wanted to be near him and touch him. And you know, in Middle Eastern culture, at least today, maybe it was like this back then too, but physical personal space is much less in the Middle East. So people were, you just imagine kind of like a festival atmosphere where everybody's trying to get close and crowd in and pushing, and Jesus is like up at the edge, and he's like, yo, here's a boat, I'll go out there and then I can talk to all these people. And he went out and he sat down, and he was a little bit away from the shore, right? So he was sitting in the boat teaching a little bit away from the shore. Here he was standing on the shore, and they kind of came up to him in the boat. That wasn't quite right. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, he did say that in here, but did they do that? They did not. They did not put out into deep water. And this kind of, the way they were doing the net here, it's not really accurate. Like, they weren't throwing like a cast net, this sort of round circle. They were like throwing out a net that you kind of drag, like a trawling net, more of it, like more of that style. And so they didn't get that right, really. And Simon says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, he did say that. It's interesting how you imagine it, right? Like, how much space was between the word anything and but? You know, he has this kind of, in the movie here, he said, we've worked hard on it and haven't caught anything. And then he kind of gives this simmering sort of glance. And he's like, but if you say so, you know. Now, how did he say that? Did he say that with faith? Did he say that with doubt? I mean, there's definitely a little doubt. But we'll get back to that in a second. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Did they do that? They didn't do that either. So if your only intake of the scripture is The Chosen or any movie, you're just not, you better be checking with the scripture. You know what I mean? You better be looking at the scripture and taking in the scripture what it says. The other thing that's very clear is that this happened out at sea. Jesus was still in the boat, right? They went out. The other boat came out. They were filling up these boats with fish. This took a long time. Probably for time's sake, they shortened all those things and they put it by the shore and all that. Because in this, it took 2 minutes for all this all to happen. But for you to go out to deeper water, throw down the net, this is taking some time. Meanwhile, this whole crowd is still standing there. That's what I see happening in the scripture here. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. That's happening in the boat. He's falling at his knees in the boat out there. And he does that, like, in the video here, they kind of say, oh, you got to get out of the boat. And he jumps out, and then he, like, oh, there's Jesus, and sort of realizes. But he knew, and he intentionally jumps over to Jesus, and he's on his knees. While these guys are pulling in fish and whatever, he's, like, on his knees saying, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. We're going to break this passage into 5 sections. And the first one is the relaying of the word of God. That's verses 1-3. The relaying of the word of God. Jesus is at the shore. People are crowding around in order to listen to the word of God. You guys can imagine something kind of like, what's that festival up in, New Hampshire? The Soul Fest. Do they have preachers up there sometimes? Can you imagine everyone kind of crowding up, trying to hear this person? They didn't have speakers back then. They didn't have microphones and speakers and all that. So the Sea of Galilee is kind of in a bowl. It's this bottom of this bowl, and often at the shore, it's coming down like a natural amphitheater. So it would have been very, very natural for Jesus to be out just a little bit in the water, and everybody's sitting down or standing around and milling around, and somebody's trying to sell popcorn, and everybody's trying to just hear what Jesus has to say. That hunger, that thirst to hear the word of God. And this is an amazing thing. I don't understand everything he says, but I need to be near that guy. I need to hear what he has to say. And like, that's us here today, right? Like, we are here because we want to hear the word of God. This is like the Jesus fan club, you know? Like, that's why we're here, because we're like, we are fans of Jesus. We want to know what he has to say. We want to apply that to our lives, and we want to take that message out further. And I love Jesus in this passage. Like, he sees this, he's at the edge, and he's a problem solver, you know. He's like, I'm being pushed around. I need a little bit of space so I can talk to more people. He sees the boat, he uses what's at hand, and he involves people in order to help accomplish that. And that's what he does with us. He involves us to help accomplish what he wants to do. So This is the Jesus fan club. This is why we're here, right? So like, why are you here? Like, did you come here because somebody dragged you? Did you come here because of any other reason? I mean, I know pretty much most of you, and I know that's not true. Like, we're here because we love Jesus and we want to hear his word. We might not understand all of it, but we want to hear it. That's the first section, the relaying of the word of God. Then the second section, verses 4-5, When he finished speaking, when he finished teaching the people, he said to Simon, Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let it down. Jesus is making this request to Peter. That's the second section, the request to Peter. Jesus interrupts Peter's plans. Peter had just worked all night. Has anyone worked all night before? You know? And then imagine that you've worked all night. I don't know where you worked all night. Maybe you worked all night at the movie theater. And then somebody says, just go back in and do one more hour. And you go, I'm already imagining the pillowcase right now. Like, I am on the way out. I have worked all night. I'm done. Jesus interrupts Peter's plans. He ignores Peter's training. You know, Peter's like, yeah, I'm pretty much the fisherman between us. I heard you know something about maybe wood, carpentry. I think I know what I know, you know. And he kind of says that. He does say master. But he says, we've worked hard all night. And that's when the fish are out, is at night, and we haven't caught anything. So Peter starts talking about, here's what I know. And then you do wonder, like, how did he relay that? He says, but because you say so, at your word, I will let down the nets. This is like a beautiful picture of the futility of human effort. The futility of human effort without God's intervention. So we were in the Florida Keys, and Zeb and Charlie picked up a little new hobby down there, fishing. Now, just look at Zeb's head right now. You can see that it was a certain disaster. We were like, you got to catch fish down here somehow, because that's what everybody seems to do. I don't know. And they bought the fishing license. They bought the bait. They spent hours. And we might have caught, how many fish did we catch down there, Charlie? Not even close. There had to be like, that we actually ate. Maybe six. Now, Charlie got off a little easy because he's young enough that he doesn't need a license. But, you know, you spend all this money and time, and they were like, we're going to get dinner tonight. Nope. We're making spaghetti, you know. and you can try all you want in your own effort, and that's what these guys did. I mean, these guys were professionals, though. They were out there with the big gear. They knew what was going on. This was what they did for a living. They knew how to do it. They had all the right techniques. They worked hard. They did all the hard work. They were trying with all their might. But they didn't have God's hand on their side during that time. I actually wonder, was Jesus like that whole night, kind of like guiding the fish away from them, maybe, just so that he could do this in the morning, you know? I don't know. Maybe that's not right. And that's not in the scripture. That's just me. But they are trying with all their might, and that experience caused some discouragement, right? We had some, if you ask Zeb right now to go fishing, he's going to say no. I promise you, he will not say yes. He doesn't want to fish anymore. That experience caused discouragement. And we've had all kinds of experiences in life that make us reticent to say yes to God. Some of us have been hurt in different churches, and it was difficult to even come to another church. Some of us are in different situations where God is asking us to take some step of faith, and we say, well, that'll never work. I was working with this one pastor once, and they had no kind of discipleship program at all, like no midweek anything. There was nothing at all happening, and I said to him, you know, we could do some kind of discipleship program with some of the people in this church, you know. And he said, well, somebody tried that before and didn't work, so we're never doing that. And I said, well, are you sure you should be the pastor? No, I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. And he just didn't have the heart for that at all. And it was because of discouragement that he tried something, it didn't work. And so we're not going to try that again. But this time you're being directed by Jesus. There's a difference between trying something on your own and being directed by Jesus. So here are these guys, and they know this is everything they know, all their experience, all their training, and their tired, bad attitudes say that this is a bad idea. This is like a waste of time. But if you say so, and sometimes we need to have that in spite of what we just say, in spite of how we feel, and we say, but if you say so, then I will do that. But if you say so. So we have this, this request to Peter in verses 4 and 5. And he says, go out into the deep water. Go out into the deeper water. There's a risk there. It takes effort. But because you say so, at your word, I'm going to do that. In spite of everything I know, I will obey you in spite of what I know. And that's our application from that section, is that Jesus knows more than you. You know, Jesus knows more than me. Jesus knows more than all of us combined. And we can trust on what he says. If he says, then we can do that. And we can trust that. The next section, the verses 6 through 7, the reward of deep water obedience. The reward of deep water obedience. They're out there. When they had done so, when they had taken the effort, gone out to the deep water, they're in the boat with Jesus, they throw this net out. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is like so surprising, right? Everybody's shocked there's even one fish. They're like, a couple fish. Okay, they start to feel that tug. Wow. Then it's overwhelming. It's not just surprising. Then it's completely overwhelming. They can't handle what Jesus is doing. And then they start to understand what's actually important. And Chuck Smith says this. He says, success beyond their wildest dreams by simple obedience to the command of Jesus. Simple obedience to the command of Jesus. Success beyond their wildest dreams. They were fishermen. And this was better than they'd ever done. They never had this experience before. And what we see is that it's not actually about the fish. Now, maybe at some place they might be like teaching, hey, when you follow Jesus, you're going to have success. And the fish just are they represent all that money you're going to get. And this is not about the fish. This is not at all about the fish. It's never been about the fish. Jesus has all the fish. He doesn't care about the fish. Jesus wants us to know that he is in control and he can trust. He's trustworthy. We can trust him. But we just get distracted. Like we get distracted by the stuff that Jesus even does for us. So that's the question. What is distracting me? What am I focusing on that maybe God even did for me that is distracting me from him? The taking my eyes off of him. Because if I'm just staring at all these fish, wow, this is amazing, this is amazing. And I don't turn over and look at Jesus and be like, wow, you are amazing. Then I just missed the whole point. If I'm sitting there trying to shove fish in my pocket, like, what is that? Like, I lost it. I'm not there. I'm not following who Jesus is. It's not about the fish. What am I focusing on that's distracting me from Jesus? Even success. Then verses 8 through 10a, we see Simon Peter, the realization of the holy. He realizes what's happening. Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' feet, knees, it says, and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. They were completely astonished, you know. And there is this thing that happens when you're in the presence of someone that is so much greater than you, so much better than you, you know. I don't know if this happens to you. Like, some people, you go and talk to them and they, like, treat you weird because they know you're a Christian. They think you're holier than them or something, or they think they should act more holy around you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I have some people I know who, like, when they're not around me, I know they're cussing up a storm. And then when they're next to me, they're like, oh, sorry. And they're trying to, because they feel different because I'm standing there, which is stupid because I'm just a sinful man like everybody else, like all of us are, right? But we get that stuff in our head. This is like extreme of that. Like, we all, if we're next to Jesus and we actually see him for who he is, which happened to Simon right here, we actually saw Jesus for who he is, not as just another person or just another teacher or just another good guy walking around, you know, he saw him for who he really is, you've got no choice but to say, you have to leave. You can't be around me. I can't take it. That's when we know ourselves truly. Because if we get that reflection in the mirror and we actually know ourselves truly and we compare ourselves to Jesus, we know, you can't be around me. Like, there's no way I can come close to you except for the blood of Jesus. Now, Simon didn't understand all of this yet. This is the beginning of his journey. He didn't know all about the blood of Jesus. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. But because of Jesus' blood, we can come to him with confidence in prayer and come close to him in worship. And it's beautiful. But this is our natural response. Like, if you've never had that feeling in God's presence that says, depart from me, I'm an unclean man, then maybe you haven't really experienced God's presence yet. Like, maybe you need to take a moment and just sit with the Lord and be like, show me who you really are. I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. And they were astonished. They were blown away. And then finally, in the second part of verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And I actually like it in The Chosen how he kind of comes down to his level and he says, don't be afraid. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He came to our level. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore and they left everything and followed him. They left all those fish. They didn't try to keep the fish. They just left. When you have Jesus, you don't need to worry about carrying all those fish with you. They weren't like, hey, could we just fill a few backpacks with the fish just in case? They left a fish behind. This is the remaking of the disciples' vocation. And if you think about these guys, this is what they knew. They had a good thing. They were professional fishermen. They kind of set their own hours. They could take a day off if they wanted to at different times. You know, they were in good shape. And they would have stayed that way forever. And Jesus called them out of that. They never thought, yeah, one day I'm not going to be a fisherman anymore. That was just who they were. There wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go to night school and become an accountant or something. This was your life, you know. And Jesus called them and they left everything and followed him. Now, just to keep it, if you look in Matthew and Mark, Jesus is like walking by and he sees them and calls them and they come and follow him. And they don't tell this story. This story is only in Luke. And if we look in the book of John, we can see that when Jesus went down to be baptized by John the Baptist, Peter was there too. And so it wasn't like this completely out of nowhere. Jesus shows up and says, follow me. And they're like, never seen you before, but yes, I will. They actually had checked out checked him out before. They knew something about him. They'd heard him teach. They said, yes, we will leave everything. We don't want any part of any of this stuff anymore. We will follow you now. 100%. And the question for us is, what's in your hand that you might need to let go of to follow him? And this is really this whole story. These guys are in, they're in the boat, and they're going to come in. They have a plan. And Jesus says, let go of your plan. Let go of your plan. Do something a little different. They go out into the net, into the water, and Jesus says, let out the net. Let it go. I'll fill the net. They let it go. He fills the net. It's interesting, another quote from Chuck Smith. This is really good. He said, the Lord brought them to the peak, to the ultimate success in their chosen profession. And then he called them to leave it behind, to follow him. Like they were at the top. Like they had just had the greatest success of all time. The, you know, fishermen and their stories, right? I mean, this story was legendary after this. Like, you know that one catch? I was there. Well, Jesus brought them to the peak of their profession and then called them to leave it, to follow him. Let it go. Those deeper waters, they have a greater risk. They have a greater reward. They require more trust. They require more faith. What's interesting is, like, this story is actually a picture of our whole calling as Christians, as followers of Jesus in the world. This story is kind of a picture of this whole thing. The Sea of Galilee, is the world. The fish are all these people living in the world. The boat is us, the Jesus fan club, the followers of Jesus, the church, right? With the big C. Not just Calvary Chapel, but all believers in Jesus. That's the boat. And Peter and his companions, they're casting that net by preaching the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he said. Go fish for men. Preach the gospel. And then this huge catch represents all the many believers that would come to faith. I mean, if you think about the number of believers in Jesus in the world, so many people following this same guy, there is this danger of sinking, which threatened Peter's little ship. And it signifies those believers that as believers, we when we step into deep waters and obey him, we will be beset by many perils and persecutions. If we follow Jesus, there's going to be difficulty. There's a risk. There's even tares in this net, and some fish escaped, and there will be souls that are lost along the way. But if we think about this, the conversion of the world by ignorant Finnish fishermen is one of God's greatest miracles. And to this very day, God keeps sending forth his fishermen into all parts of the world to bring the good news. And that's what he's doing for us. He's sending us out as his fishermen, fishers of men, fishers of women, looking for those people who would respond to the call. And, you know, down in Florida, we're looking, oh, which bait should we use? Should we use the live shrimp, the frozen shrimp, this thing, that thing? What bait should we use? We only have one bait. We only have one bait. That's the love of Jesus, the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that we as sinners fell away from God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again, proving that he gives us new life. This is the gospel, that I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but Jesus died for me. That's the gospel. And so this is the calling of Peter and James and John, and most likely also Peter's brother Andrew. All happened at the same time. These four guys, they became some of Jesus' closest followers. And this was the event that kicked it all off. So that's my prayer for us. Lord, lead us into deeper waters. Let us be willing to obey even against our knowledge, supposed knowledge and experience, the things that might deter us, that make us reticent to follow him. May we say yes to God when he says, here's a step that you should take and it doesn't make sense. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and do that anyway. And I'm going to let go and trust you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love to speak to us. Thank you for the things that you're speaking to our hearts. We want to say yes to you. And even saying yes to you, we can barely do without your spirit and the strength that you give us. Lord, we pray that we will follow you wholeheartedly. That we leave behind our excuses. We leave behind our knowledge. And that we would obey your word. That we'd be able to hear your voice to us and we would obey. We thank you for your kindness to us, that you died for us, you came to us, you came to our level, and you showed yourself faithful. And Lord, we pray for our coming week, Lord, we pray that you would help us to cast those nets. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Hey, why don't we stand and sing one more song?